This is episode 5 of Encounter Points.
Welcome to this episode of Encounter Points. I'm Ken Hellenius.
And I'm Bill Schmidt.
In the last episode, we talked about trust and its relationship to joy. We're in the middle of our series of discussions about joy as a major force in our encounters with people and our efforts to evangelize the culture.
And we decided we need to build trust between people in order to do any outreach that's meaningful and joyful. Let's talk this week about something that's a prerequisite for building trust, namely mercy. We all crave a more forgiving world, the presence of kind, merciful people who can love flawed human beings and not condemn them.
And that love, that reminds me of the psalm, "The Lord is kind and merciful."
Lord, have mercy. And Lord, we place our trust in you. From that comfortable place, let's start our conversation. Are we rolling?
We are live. This mic is hot.
Oh, my gracious. Well, everything that we do in front of these mics, I would describe as hot stuff.
Hot stuff.
And cool stuff.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
But not lukewarm, because then we would spit it out of our mouth.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No.
Cool hand, lukewarm, not for us.
No.
And that would be a failure to communicate.
Yes. Yeah. And also a before and after category.
And we're back, see?
See that? Yeah, everything feeds back. Absolutely.
That's right.
And I'll try not to cause any feedback with this microphone.
Excellent. So,
yes. But, no, good to see you, Ken, and welcome back to the series that we're doing on, it's really about joy and even more directly about the new evangelization and joy and its kindred transcendental virtues and values and
human constituent parts,
yes.
Yeah.
All of those wonderful instruments of evangelization that probably don't get enough specific attention when we talk about new evangelization in the grand terms. So I'm really enjoying kind of going into the nitty-gritty of evangelization through ideas that we've touched on so far, joy being the primary one and kind of the umbrella over all of the others that we're discussing.
Right.
But this time, I'm very eager to talk about mercy and forgiveness, kind of kindred elements there. And it's, I think, a very powerful a tool of evangelization, and just something that our society needs and that we need as individuals, both as recipients and as givers, which is, hey, it's kind of, as with many of these constituents that we're talking about, it's definitely a two-way street. You need it and you have to give it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, heck, even the direction to do so comes from the Lord Jesus himself, right?
Indeed.
And when his disciples ask him, how do we pray? In the Our Father, we get this petition that we are to offer to God that says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us."
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
and it is in giving that we receive. You know,
of course,
from the commonly called Prayer of Saint Francis. You know,
right.
It is in giving that we receive, and this certainly applies to mercy, right?
Yes,
we appreciate and in some ways expect that others will show us mercy when we ask.
Yes.
And we need to be more cognizant that they too are expecting and hoping for the same from us.
Exactly.
You know.
And the church is an abundant, ongoing, continuous source of mercy and of the remembrance of mercy and the generous provision of immediate mercy once we request it, seek it, receive it, and then indeed go about bestowing it, sharing it with others.
Sharing it, proclaiming it.
Exactly.
Rejoicing in it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's the other, you know, we'll get to it certainly by the end, but in the sacraments themselves, which are, you know, encounters with the Lord, efficacious encounters with the Lord.
Right.
They are all moments where we experience mercy.
Yeah.
Especially, obviously, the, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation.
Right.
This concept of going to reconciliation, which, you know, we may dread going in, but then in the moment, and certainly afterward, when you walk out of the confessional, you feel, you know, 142 pounds lighter.
Yes.
And you experience joy. You're like, I am forgiven. I am once again in the Father's house. Yes. I am, you know, go ahead and hit me now, train, as I drive around the train crossing guard. Yes. And the train smacks into me. I'm in a state of grace because God has forgiven me.
Yes.
By the way, I'm not encouraging anyone to do that.
No, fair enough.
No, that would be stupid.
That would.
And we haven't discussed stupidity as an aspect of joy.
Yes, indeed. That's a constituent element of something, and something that definitely needs a lot of mercy and forgiveness. But
that's right.
We won't pursue that.
No, that's actually, of course, a spiritual work of mercy is to instruct the ignorant. But
that is true. But, that is right.
But here tonight, we're going to talk about mercy and forgiveness, as you say.
Yes.
And yet, in all of our preparations, other than a cursory review of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, right. I didn't bone up.
Fair enough. Well,
so that's friendly warning. If you try to quiz me, I'm out.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Actually, between hopefully we all engage in those corporal and spiritual works of mercy all the time. So that kind of lesson in mercy is constantly going on. But the Pope gave us a wonderful lesson in mercy not too many years ago with the Jubilee Year of Mercy, and in fact bestowed special roles of mercy giving
the
missionaries of mercy, a select group of priests. And so Pope Francis is very keenly aware, I think, of the need for mercy in our society today, and also the need for mercy as a tool of evangelization that we bring out to the peripheries. And that's, just the fact that every parish is to be a field hospital means that mercy should be smack dab in the middle of our parishes as well. And along with sacrament of reconciliation, it is a good point that we sometimes forget that the Holy Eucharist is the most amazing sacrament of mercy in the sense that was the self-donation that is, you know, remembered at every Eucharist, at every Mass, the self-donation that really gave us our salvation. And no surprise, therefore, that it's called the Eucharist, because if there's anything for us to be saying thank you for, and Eucharist means thanks, it sure is that act of mercy. And if we can't leave Mass ready to share that amazing mercy with others, then maybe we needed to be paying a little bit more attention during the Mass.
Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, wrote his second encyclical was entitled Rich in Mercy.
Indeed, yes.
Dives in Misericordia in 1980. And in that encyclical, he really obviously focuses on what does it mean to say that God is rich in mercy.
Uh-huh.
And kind of after establishing the academic and I should say, you know, kind of the theoretical foundations of what God's mercy means, he then gets into the hows and whys. Not so much the whys. How do we show mercy to a world that is in dire need of mercy?
Yeah.
And in his kind of the paragraph 13 or section 13 of that, he speaks specifically about what you just said. He says, the Eucharist, which is the representation of the sacrifice at Calvary, is an act of imploring God's mercy and joining in that mercy, because it's Christ himself offering himself to the Father as God, yeah. satisfying the demands of divine justice, but also because it's God himself giving the gift,
yeah.
it is an act of mercy at the same time.
Yes.
So there, you know, in the psalm, it says that, you know, justice and mercy have kissed.
Yes.
And they kiss in the cross of Christ.
Oh my, yes.
You know, whereas the mercy guides the justice and covers the justice. The justice is fulfilled and gone beyond.
Yes.
And that's the great gift of the Eucharist for
yes.
us. And so when we receive it, we are entering into the death of Christ like we did at our baptism.
Right.
We're renewing that, being fed and encouraged in our journey, in our walk, as we take up our crosses,
right.
in our daily actions, and being encouraged to show mercy to others.
Yes.
And what happens at Mass when we receive the Eucharist, but we receive and we are then sent out. It's not a very long part of Mass after you receive Eucharist before you're already back out the door. For
yeah.
many people, it's dine and dash, but that's not yeah. quite, that's not quite perfect, not
right.
quite the fullness, but still, we receive the Eucharist and then are sent to evangelize the world, basically.
Yes.
And so, yeah, very much, and this is an act of mercy. You're right.
And it's wonderful that so many of our churches now have images of the divine mercy that came from St. Faustina, very much through the good efforts of Pope John Paul
yeah.
II, and that those wonderful images of the blood and water coming forth from the Lord as signs of mercy and rebirth are still further reminders of it's all tied in with the Eucharist and tied in with the forgiveness
cross.
That and the cross
yeah.
and the way we seek forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. I do find that that's a wonderful thing about the Divine Mercy devotion, that it really does tie all of these things together. And it's both deeply contemplative and very active in that sense, that if you realize fully how much mercy has been shown to you, how really you want to go forth, ite missa est,
mm-hmm.
You're sent forth, so
yeah.
you'd better go forth and show mercy. And it makes perfect sense. And one other way in which we kind of tie things together through these constituent parts that we're talking about in our series. It makes me remember that last week that we talked about trust as one of the elements
right.
and a key part of the image of divine mercy is the marvelous statement that deserves to be repeated constantly throughout the day and becomes a way of life. Jesus, I trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, we could say that as we approach receiving communion and just at every part of the Mass.
I actually really, I like to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet during the Eucharistic prayer.
Beautiful.
Because, of course, the Divine Mercy Chaplet itself is Eucharistically centered.
Yes.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have yeah. mercy on us and on the whole world. But,
exactly.
you know, I mean, that's the kind of the repetitive part on the small beads, but the large beads, you know.
Eternal Father, I offer you
the body
and
blood,
soul and divinity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of your dearly beloved Son.
Yes.
You know, and then I tend to end my decades with O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain
beautiful.
Of mercy for us, I trust in thee.
Yes.
You know, which, because it is, as you say, it's that Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes.
That is our act of faith. And
yes.
it's an act of faith. It's an act of trust.
Yeah.
It's, we've been begging for mercy. We've been offering the only perfect offering, you know, the only perfect sacrifice ever offered on earth.
Yes.
Was through Christ himself and sufficient. And so all I need to do is embrace it. And
yes.
thank the Lord for it.
Well said. And when you think of that double barrel wonder of trust and mercy, if we could indeed go forth from each Mass having appreciated its presence during the liturgy, and then determined to share it with everybody else, that really would be a key to the success of the new evangelization. People, as you say, are just longing to be trusted and to be able to trust others and to have mercy shown to them, because the sad truth is that people are kind of in denial, it seems to me, nowadays. A lot of folks, they're afraid to accept any accountability or even accusation or implied accusation of being wrong or being sinful or having made a mistake, because they don't know what to do with this concept of sin. And that's because they don't know about forgiveness. And they can't imagine anybody, much less our Lord, forgiving them. And if they could, if we could be a kind of camel's nose under the tent of that hardened heart, I think that's a mix of metaphors. That
no, it's okay.
That, is that
no,
all right?
I'm buying it.
Woo! But yeah, if we could kind of open the door to that mix of trust and mercy and soften those hardened hearts, I think that the new evangelization would really be a wonderful gift to the culture.
I think you're right. The very idea of we each need mercy,
right?
And we need to show mercy.
Yeah.
There's an act of selfishness in my own. I'm selfish. I want mercy, but I also want to remain in power and feel strong. Yeah. And if
is I, that why you wanted to take my microphone as well as yours yeah, during the show? Exactly. I was wondering what was that all about? Yeah, go on, sir.
Yeah, no. But I think that's part of this is the idea that we are, when we don't offer the same mercy that we expect or want for ourselves,
right,
that puts us in a position of power. Yes. Because you are weaker because you have shown me mercy and now I'm the strong one.
Gosh.
You depend on me to show you mercy.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And this is a mentality which is altogether, this is what you see on Twitter, in social
yes,
media, where it's so easy to dehumanize the person at the other end of the keyboard.
Yes.
Because it's not a person standing right in front of you.
Yes.
I think this is what we see in so many of the recent altercations, over so many discussions of race or
yes,
whatever it might be. When a person wears a mask,
right,
they feel stronger because
yes,
they are not being, they feel, I will never be held accountable for this.
Right.
And so which is what makes those people that do horrific things that are unmasked.
Right.
They too need mercy.
Yes.
But they also need to show mercy, So I don't know. I just wanted to say that this idea of when we commit sins without being able to look one another in the eye,
right,
it makes us feel strong and powerful.
Yes.
When we feel that we are not being face to face. But face to face is what the incarnation was about.
That's right. Right. That's
it's
right.
God coming face to face with us.
Yes.
Us being able to look into the eyes of a child and say, this is our God.
Yes.
And us being able to look at a guy nailed to a cross and say, truly, this was the Son of God.
Yes.
That is yeah, when we experience conversion and the need for mercy.
Yes.
And so I think that's one of the things that the incarnation is about.
Yes. That's why, please God, we will never have confession via Twitter. A confession is a meeting of two people and a wonderful recognition of the dignity of human beings, yet a recognition that we're all flawed at the same time. There is really something that has to be face-to-face about mercy, or at least it can't be disembodied entirely. It really is a celebration of people's dignity, which in itself is something that people so often forget, the dignity of human beings today. And one of the ways in which that's done is a comment I thought of regarding forgiveness and the idea of forgiving. That's usually used in the verbal form, or perhaps the gerund form, if I may use
gerundive form. Yeah.
It's the gerundive form.
Hit me.
Because forgiving can be an adjective that I've heard used in various ways. For instance, I think I saw a commercial or something recently where the buyer of an all-terrain vehicle complained that this is a wonderful vehicle, but the let's say the seat of it is not particularly forgiving on my body, and it's a rocky road thereby.
Yeah,
but there are things that need to be forgiving, preemptively forgiving. Forgiveness is not just a response to a sin or a situation. I would love to see us recognize the characteristic of something being forgiving, more widely recognized and more widely pursued by Catholics as part of evangelization. I'm thinking in particular not so much of an all-terrain vehicle, because I've never been on one. I've never even been on many terrains, much less on an all-terrain vehicle. But I think of highways as something that should be forgiving in ways that they no longer are. I seem to remember when I was growing up that because there was less speeding, less aggressive driving, it was a little bit safer for young people. I think of my daughter in this case, and I think of me growing up, and still today, because I don't like everybody going 80 and 90 miles per hour
zooming
past
by,
me.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very unforgiving setting. And think of the older folks, too, who are, you know, used to going 55 and prefer to do that, and for various reasons that might be the best for them and for all of us. But there's not that sense, that preemptive, that proactive sense of mercy and making the circumstances of the highway forgiving. And I think there are probably all sorts of venues in life. The workplace certainly could be more forgiving. Sometimes, you know, if a job or workplace is so completely filled with metrics that are, you know, ticking off every day. You know, you have to fulfill this quota and that quota, and every 15 minutes, da 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 da. Maybe that's necessary in some jobs, but it's not particularly forgiving,
right?
And therefore, not truly recognition of a person's dignity and of a person's flaws. Maybe there's going to be some 15-minute periods where they're going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
Hence, all the more reason to have that wonderful access to mercy.
I like your idea about highways and byways, you know.
Yeah.
Because what am I reminded of is you speak of that, but of what John the Baptist's job was.
Yeah.
Was to proclaim a highway for the Lord.
Yes.
Which was the pathway to God.
Yes.
To the return to the promised land.
Right.
You know, every mountain made low,
yes,
and every valley filled in.
That's a wonderful vision
path,
for mercy. Yes.
You know, and that's,
yes,
and that's what leads us back to the promised land.
Yes.
Leads the exiles back to the promised land.
Yes. Yes. So
I've been thinking a lot lately about Psalm 136,
yeah,
you know, the by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, remembering Zion. On the poplars that grew there, we hung up our harps, because it was there that they asked us, our captors, for songs. Oh, how could we sing the song of the Lord on alien soil?
Mm.
If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither.
Indeed.
You know, this idea of we are exiles from the kingdom that we are promised.
Yeah.
We are people on a journey, but we need to be people of joy so that we can share the hope that's within us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't want to be stuck here.
Yeah.
And how do we remind ourselves of this joy that we are promised? But by being people of mercy, by extending mercy to others, by receiving it from others.
Yes.
Those are moments of hope. Those are moments of, as you pointed out earlier, moments of trust.
Right.
In which we experience the promises that God has made to us, that we know God is ever faithful.
Yeah.
And he showed us that in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus told us by his example that we are to love one another as he has loved us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I'm reminded of as I think of your reflections. I think of all these sorts of directions.
Yes. I do think that we need to show mercy and recognition that we are indeed on a journey and that we make mistakes. And one thing that I think our society forgets too readily now that mercifulness and forgiveness would show would be that wonderful distinction that our church makes between hating the sin but loving the sinner.
Yeah.
And nowadays, people make too little distinction, I think many folks do. We all perhaps fall into this trap of, you know, so easily on the basis of one action or of our impression of someone, our first impression of a person or an action, making this wholesale judgment that the person is evil or, you know, in some way not deserving of mercy and forgiveness and not really filled with inherent human dignity. We can dismiss folks so readily under such circumstances. And if we could show more mercy and forgiveness, we would remember that ours is not to judge, and ours is to judge actions, but still always in love, truth in love, and not to judge people. Mm-hmm. It's two very different things, and it's so ironic that in an age that celebrates tolerance, the tendency is very strong, again, perhaps thanks to social media and that kind of separation.
The dehumanization.
The dehumanization.
Personalization.
Depersonalization of communication. We forget that, hey, we're dealing with folks who are in need of mercy and
also
likely to be flawed.
Also created in the image and likeness of God.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. It's, again, the mix of having great dignity but also always falling short. Mm-hmm. And so the best thing we can give to them is an understanding of that mystery of being on a journey that has a happy ending.
Right.
And that leads to hope. And I think it would lead to more trust and more just in general joy.
More joy,
You know, really, because if we're constantly judging ourselves and others much too rapidly and not showing mercy and forgiveness to ourselves or others, not receiving, in other words, the Lord's mercy on us and remembering that the God's not surprised by the mistake that we just made.
No.
You know? And he's with us through that, so long as we're ready to request and receive mercy at that moment and in all moments.
Absolutely. Well, Bill.
Yes.
Good conversation.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it as always, and we'll continue to find more constituent parts of joy. Right? I mean, it just never ends.
I think. Well, I think it will end. No. In our plan, it ends.
Yeah, but our plan is nothing compared to God's
plan. No, I know,
plan.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing. We submitted our plan to the Lord, and he laughed.
Yeah, I think he said that, yeah, this is a podcast, not a
that,
Godcast.
Said, yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, well, let's get together again, again next time.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for listening to our conversations during this episode 5. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.